With what he characterizes as a stupid question, here's Pastor Ed Ray.
Stupid question. Do you want God to bless your life? Of course, Pastor. What a stupid thing to say. I said it was stupid. But people don't act like they want God to bless their life. Well, how do I get God to bless my life? Read his book, commit it to prayer, and ask him to change you. And he will bless in all that you do. Now, that's a deal from God that no person should turn down. You're having struggles right now? Got financial struggles, health struggles, relationship problems? God can fix all those.
Zion, I build with hands, and in this place, God will dwell with man. Sick be healed, and the crippled stand, singing hallelujah. My kingdom built with the blood of my son, selfless sacrifice for everyone. Faith, hope, love, and harmony. I said, let this world know me by your love.
You've probably heard someone say, I tried this God you said would fix me, but I'm still broken. Could it be they were hearers only? They made promises, but they couldn't keep them. Yet we'll learn today on Grow in Grace, our call is to be promise believers. God is the promise keeper. Well, more on that in just a moment. But first, let me welcome you to Grow in Grace. Our teacher, Pastor Ed Ray, opens the book of James. And in chapter 1, we're reminded of the danger of being hearers only and not doers of the word. But we can mistake that for thinking the onus is on us to fix our lives. Only God can do that, and he will. Beginning with what gets in the way of hearing God that leads to doing, from James chapter 1, verse 19, there's Pastor Ed.
Spur of the moment speech can interfere with something that God is trying to say to me. To give into emotional outbursts is to shut yourself off from anything coming in. So be slow to speak and then swift to hear. And lastly, and he puts a third thing with it that at first doesn't sound right, slow to wrath. We can be slow to wrath by first listening and then slow to speak. Anger often comes out from unresolved conflicts in the past, not looking at the difficulties in your life in the light of eternity. In other words, something that seems so important in the heat of the argument with your spouse, it may not matter in eternity. You may never look back and say, I'm sorry, I left the garage door open, or whatever it was. You know, I forgot to stop at the store, or something like that. So anger in the light of eternity is myopic. It's short-sighted. The Greek word is orge, O-R-G-E. It's used of long-lasting, vengeance-filled anger. It describes someone who's holding a grudge. That's why, in fact, Paul used it in Ephesians 4, verse 26. Be angry, but not unto sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Struggling with somebody. Allowing anger to continue to burn in my life is sin. Let me make it as simple as I can make it. It's forbidden for a believer. So what do I have to do? I have to forgive. That's always why I'm angry. I didn't get my way. Again, not you. This is the 9:30 church, and you're all very spiritual, but the pastor has a problem in this area. So, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of a human, of a man, of mankind, does not produce the righteousness of God. That's probably the understatement of the section. Angry men, angry women, reflect something completely different from being right with God. It's difficult to do anything right when you're angry. It is possible, but it's a very small percentage. James will say it from the positive side in the third chapter. Peacemakers will sow in peace and raise a harvest of rightness, of righteousness, by being peaceful. Verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness an overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness, humility, the implanted word, there it is again, which is able to save your souls. Set aside every impure thing in your life. Now, there's actually a pun here. It's a play on words. In the Greek language, the original idea of filthiness is an individual with excessive earwax. So it's saying your ears are plugged, you're not listening, and so you're not changing. The implanted word is God's grace to your life and my life. That incident that God brings into your life, that's a way of escape. That's what Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 10:13. In the midst of every temptation, God makes a way of escape. And it's usually a diversion. Somebody says something to you. You remember something you read. Your Christian radio station, it just pops into your brain and keeps you from going in the wrong direction. Set it aside. We grow in grace. We grow when we recognize that God is giving us gifts we don't deserve and we're grateful for them. Grow in grace, Peter said. Keep doing it. Verse 22. But be doers of the word. Whew. And not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Hearing must be matched with doing. Pretty straight ahead. Oswald Chambers said, one step forward in obedience is worth years of study about it. Painful. Ouch. Not hearers only. Now, this word hears is the Greek word for auditing a class. Those of you that have been to college or university, you'll know that it's possible, if the professor allows you, to just sit in on a class. And that's the word he uses here, to just sit in. You don't have to do anything if you audit a class. Most professors don't care whether you turn in your homework or whether you take the final exam. They're willing to let you just hear, but not do anything else. That's the picture here. Some people think church is an audit class. Oops, you just changed on his pastor. He sucked me right in there. That we come and we just listen and we don't have to do anything about it. We don't have to respond to God. Here's the way it's worked for me for years. When I get convicted, is the right word, by the Holy Spirit, listening to somebody or... See, the bad thing about me having to teach this is I get convicted up here like I am right now. But it's not just one time. See, you only have to listen to it for 45 minutes. I had to study it for weeks now. So when that feeling comes, that old guilt thing, I just say, Lord, give me ears to hear, put this in my life. You're right. It's called repentance. I'm wrong. Fix me, Lord. You do it. Well, you're just being lazy, Pastor. You should fix it yourself. Yeah. They're called New Year's resolutions. I've done thousands of them, okay? I've lost thousands of pounds in my life. Got it? All right. So we're looking for God to make the changes. Someone who's just a hearer and thinks they're doing great is deceiving. This is not a great illustration of this. New York City, a guy died recently, 63 years old. Without ever having had a job. He spent his entire adult life in college. During those years, he acquired many academic degrees. The writer said that they looked like an alphabet behind his name. So why did this man spend his entire life in college? When he was a child, a wealthy relative died who had named him as a beneficiary in his will. It stated that he was to be given enough money to support him every year as long as he stayed in school. Was to be discontinued when he completed his education. Well, in terms of the will, that was not what the benefactor intended, you know, that he would be 63 years old and have many degrees and have never put anything into practice. Danger, danger, danger. His education was of no practical benefit to himself or anyone else. He didn't even help the other students in the class. The guy's got multiple PhDs, but too selfish and not a doer, only a hearer. Another illustration from Civil War times, D.L. Moody. He's probably the first really big evangelist in America like Billy Graham. He became quite famous during his lifetime, and he was asked quite often to do pastors' conferences and evangelist conferences, and he was asked to do one in Indianapolis. And he was a little frustrated about this subject, about him telling people how they can do evangelism, but then never seen any fruit from it. So it was to happen at 7 o'clock. So at 6 o'clock, he took his singer, the guy's name was Sankey, out to the street in front of this convention center, and he put him on a soapbox. I mean, in those days, literally soap arrived in wooden crates. And he stood on it, and he asked Sankey to sing a couple of songs. So he did, and a crowd gathered because the guy evidently had an amazing voice. And he begins to preach on the soapbox on a sidewalk in Indianapolis. And it was such a powerful presentation that several hundred people responded to an altar call at the end of it at exactly 7 o'clock when inside they were waiting for him to tell them how to evangelize people. And he asked all the people that had come forward to go into the hall and come up on the stage with him. And then he interviewed some of them and told the crowd, this is how you evangelize. He didn't want to talk about methods. He wanted to encourage them to actually get involved and do something. Get out and do it.
You're tuned to Grow in Grace with Pastor Ed Ray. He's illustrating it's better to just do it than talk about it. For some things are better caught than taught. We continue now with today's lesson from James chapter 1, and we'll start off with verse 23.
For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. This is kind of funny. Modern translation, for if you just listen and don't obey, it's like looking at your face in a mirror and doing nothing to improve your appearance. And that didn't help any. So, hearers of the word and not a doer. About this, a little bit before the time of Moody, Wesley was in London having a big impact on that nation. And he was walking around with a manufacturer, a rather famous soap manufacturer in London, trying to lead this guy to the Lord. And they're walking through the streets of London's worst districts. And of course, there was a lot of disease and there was filth in the streets and no good sewer or garbage systems. And it was disgusting. The man turns to Wesley and he says, quote, Pastor, that Bible you preach must not be any good. It's not helping anyone. Look at all this filth and corruption. And Wesley didn't say anything. He just nodded his head. And he took him around the corner to an area where there are a bunch of kids playing in a mud puddle. And they're all muddy and filthy. And he says, notice those kids? Well, yeah. He says, that soap you're making must not be any good. Look how filthy and dirty these kids are. Soap manufacturer says quickly, well, soap doesn't work unless you use it and apply it. Wesley said, exactly. That's the trouble with the Bible. There's a lot there. It's very good at doing what it does, but you have to read it. You have to listen to it. You have to apply it to your life in a mirror. Verse 24. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was, or forgets what he looks like, and he doesn't do anything about it. What's this talking about? You come to church, you hear something that the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you're in the car listening to somebody speak, and God speaks to you through it. You're listening to a song, a neighbor says something, somebody you care about says something, and you know it's spiritual. What do you do about it? That's what this is saying. Well, I'll try and remember. No. You just commit it to prayer. Just say, Lord, that's right. I need this in my life. Change me. I give you permission. In fact, I beg you, change me. Make me the person I'm supposed to be. Then grace kicks in. God's undeserved favor. When we humble ourselves and admit our inability to earn salvation or growth, then God kicks in and he pulls us along. 25. That would be a good time to say amen. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, this is an interesting phrase, law and freedom together. A phrase that says this kind of law, the law of grace, the law of love, brings great freedom and continues in it through the rest of their life, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Stupid question. Do you want God to bless your life? Of course, Pastor, what a stupid thing to say. I said it was stupid. But people don't act like they want God to bless their life. Well, how do I get God to bless my life? Read his book, commit it to prayer, and ask him to change you. And he will bless in all that you do. Now that's a deal from God that no person should turn down. You're having struggles right now? Got financial struggles, health struggles, relationship problems? This is the God who can fix all those. Let me put it in slightly different terms. Say the same thing. Surrender to the creator of the universe. Nothing is hard for him. He'll fix your mess. He fixed my mess, and a lot of you in this room know exactly what I'm talking about. So God is waiting to fix all of us. The law of liberty. Strangely, there's freedom when we stay within the law. In a long, heated conversation with a bright young lady last week, she was upset about what I'd said about God requiring certain things of us. Well, he's just supposed to be good to me. No, you can't ignore his law. You can't live your life just like you want to do. Well, that seems arbitrary. I said, well, and we were standing right over there, and I said, you see the top of that roof? She said, yeah. I said, I can tell you it's 45 feet up. Now, you can go up there and stand and say, I don't believe in gravity. You can say it all you want. But if you jump off, this concrete is really hard. And you can say, you don't think that's fair. You don't think God's doing the best for me. But God's law brings freedom, great freedom. Ask one of the ex-heroin addicts here in our church. Ask one of the ex-alcoholics here. Ask one of the ex-prostitutes in our church. Ask one of the gambling addicts that God has healed. I mean, I said that as I looked around this room because I was looking for you to remind me what God has brought you and I from. His law is love, and he writes it on our hearts. Verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he's religious, and this word religion is ceremonial temple service, literally. That's what Josephus said. It means public worship. Display. If any person thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue. Bridle? Yeah, you know that thing they put on a horse's head with a little bar that goes across the tongue, and when the horse doesn't want to stop, you pull and gag it. And some horses are so headstrong that they just ignore you. Well, a couple folks like that. But if you won't bridle your tongue, he deceives his own heart. And this one's religious is useless. It doesn't help anyone else. That's the whole point of this. What's he talking about? Cussing. What? Yeah. If you don't hold your tongue. Now listen, I didn't become a Christian until I was 26 years old. I grew up around hot rodders and motorcycle racers and rock and roll musicians, and there's nothing I haven't heard, okay, and probably said myself. I have friends from those days that still can't put four words together without putting in an expletive right in the middle of it, you know? They're just trapped in F-bombs everywhere. It's hard, I understand. In fact, I think it might be impossible without God. But if you'll let God have your life, he changes your heart. That's what this is talking about. It's hard to change it yourself, perhaps impossible, but nothing is impossible for God. Let me tell you a funny story. So, when Raylan and I were studying years ago in Switzerland, one of the professors that came was Campbell McAlpine. You probably don't know that name, but he was part of the Welsh revival. He was a teenager, and he was preaching in Wales, when literally thousands of coal miners and hard rock miners got saved, and it transformed the country. So 1920, 1922, this great revival went through the land, and it was great for everyone except the coal miners because they were having trouble. What kind of trouble? Well, when you get saved, you work for Jesus, and so you actually work harder. But the problem was with the donkeys, with the mules down in the mine that would drag all the coal up. They were used to the miners cursing at them, and when the miners got saved, they wouldn't respond to normal talk. So if you're a Christian miner, you had to go get one of your heathen dog friends to come out and cuss out the mule, and they go, oh, okay, sure, I can pull. True story. That's absolutely the reality of it. So God wants to change the things that come out of our mouth. Bridle your tongue. Verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion. This means in a good sense. Before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. Now, particularly at this time in the first century, if you were an orphan, you were going to die because there wasn't any state help. There weren't any orphanages. There weren't any Social Security or anybody foster care that would take care of you. Widows, same problem. Most women were stay-at-home moms, and there were no jobs for women. So this was a life and death matter. But what he's saying simply is put the law of love to use in your heart for other people around you. Be a doer of this so I can earn heaven? No. It's the result of God having changed our hearts. We see people in need, and he wants us to respond to them. He wants them to know the love of God so that they'll respond to him through you and spend eternity with him. To keep one unspotted from the world, back away. God, help me not to be drawn in by the world. A.B. Simpson was a pastor who started the Missionary Alliance Church, a great church. He liked to tell the true story of a wealthy man. This is in the 1700s, early 1800s, who had a carriage, and his coachman died, and he was looking for a new one. He's trying to hire a new driver. And he went through a whole bunch of them, wife and children. They lived on a small mountain that there was a circular drive all the way up. And the fall was significant off of one of these turns. So he's very careful about the driver. And he narrowed it down to two people, two men, seemed well qualified. And he asked them questions. The first one, he said, he asked him if he how near he could get the wheels of the carriage to the side of the road that the cliff was on, how close he could get and maintain control and not be afraid. The first candidate answered, quote, that he could go within half an inch and had frequently done so, just shaving the edge, and felt perfectly safe. Then he asked the other man. The other man said, well, sir, I really cannot tell you because I've never allowed myself to venture near the edge of a precipice. I have always made it a rule to keep as far as possible from the danger. I have been and had my reward in knowing that my master and his family were kept from danger and harm by me being safe. Well, it's simple. The employer hired him. You are the man for me, said the other. May be brilliant, but you are safe. Don't dance on the edge. Don't play with fire and think you won't get burnt. That's really what this section is talking about. Go to God, fill up every day, and you'll be able to resist. Now, we started by mentioning these two guys, crazy story but true, that happened in Maryland, that they broke out of a jail cell by jamming the hard cover or the cover of a Bible through the door and tripping the lock and getting out. You say, well, that's a strange use of the Bible. It is. But I've known many people who the scriptures God used to set them free from gambling, from addictions, from broken relationships, from crime, from fear, from depression. God has been so gracious to visit this place. He's here this morning. And I challenge you, if God has spoken to you, don't leave without responding. Nobody else has to know. Just speak to him and say, Lord, make this a reality in my life. I surrender in Jesus' name.
Amen. That's a great prayer Pastor Ed Ray concludes with on today's Grow in Grace. May it be yours as well. For a CD copy of today's message, please give us a call at 844-77-GRACE. That's 844-77-GRACE, or listen online at thepackinghouse.org when it's most convenient. We can hook you up with many more resources to help you to grow in grace when you visit thepackinghouse.org, like Pastor Ed's devotional. Well, today we'd like to offer you a very special book, Living Water by Pastor Chuck Smith. Learn how to embrace the power of the Holy Spirit in your life as you read this excellent book. We'll gladly send it to those of you who support Grow in Grace with a donation of any amount. You might think of it as our way of saying thanks. You can donate safely and securely online at thepackinghouse.org, or again, give us a call at 844-77-GRACE. You know, it's a real blessing when we hear back from our listening audience, and we want to hear from you. If you would drop us an email with the call letters of the station you're listening on, it would help us to know where people are listening and where the program is being most effective. We want to know what God is up to in your life. Drop us an email today at packinghouseradio@aol.com. That's packinghouseradio@aol.com. And then join us next time as together we grow in grace through a study in James with Pastor Ed Ray. May God richly bless you as you grow in His grace.
Zion, now filled with hands, and in this place God will dwell with man. Sick be healed and the crippled stand, singing hallelujah. My kingdom built with the blood of my Son, selfless sacrifice for everyone. Faith, hope, love, and harmony. I said, let this world know me by your